the book of Job chapter 5. That's why we're taking the declaration of the glory of the Lord this morning. Everybody say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And His mercy endures forever.
And His mercy endures forever.
Now I want you to use that voice to read from verse 8. One, two, let's go. But as for me, I will say God. I will place my cause before Him, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number.
He gives rain on the earth
and sends water on the fields, so that He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the plotting of the shrewd, so that their hands cannot attain success. He captures the wise in their own shrewdness, and the advice of the cunning is quickly thwarted. By day they meet with darkness, and grope at noon as at night. But He saves from the sword of their mouth, and the poor from the hand of the mighty. So the helpless has hope, and unrighteousness must shut his mouth. Behold, how happy is a man who God approves, who does despise this discipline of the Lord. For He inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds and His hands also heal. Hallelujah. Say, how happy is a man whom God reproves, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. I like that last line, for He inflicts pain. He does. But most importantly, He gives relief. When He has to wound, His hands will also come out and heal. The reason is because He will have accomplished His purpose of bringing attention to certain things in the life of that child of God. Father, we thank You for this beautiful morning in which You have gathered us to make us hear Your word. We from You receive insight, we receive understanding, Amen. We receive wisdom Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because we know You have given us all these things, we declare as follows.
Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, and pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. Now, there are two portions of the scriptures I'd like to start this morning's teaching with. The first one is from the book of Job. Let's start with Job chapter 34. Then we'll read the book of John chapter 14. So, Job chapter 34. Now, Elihu was speaking here by the Spirit of God. We know he was talking about the time of Job's sufferings. Now, he said a lot of things before that, but I just read two verses here. Then we'll move on to the book of John. Now, he was explaining some of the dealings of the Lord and how we are supposed to respond and how we get out of the situation. He said, for as anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement. I will not offend anymore. They are saying to God, teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. I'll stop reading in verse 32. That is, how do we get out of our troubles? It is by praying to the Lord, by recognizing that it is possible to be doing things that in the eyes of the Lord constitute iniquity, but we don't know. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, or his ways are right in his own eyes. Just assume you know what you are doing. No matter how sincere you are, you can be wrong inside that sincerity. Bear that in mind. It is very possible to be wrong in your sincerity. And one of the characteristics, or one of the features of humility in the Christian walk, is this knowledge that there's more to know, there's more to learn, there are corrections to make in my life, no matter how I feel. You know, I've met people before who will say to your face, there's nothing more to learn. So if I want young man who invested those days. He loved music. Incidentally, of course, he never made anything of it. I think he had maybe a gift in that regard. He did. And he joined my fellowship. And so, of course, he was attracted to the instruments and everything. So he met one of our brothers, and in a short while, that one taught him how to play the drum. The guy used to drum for us. That man was also a very driven and naturally gifted person. Apart from being gifted, he's a driven person. So in a short while, that young fellow, he wanted to learn the keyboard. So I now said something to him, something led to it. I don't, of course, it's not necessary to tell you all the stories. That, look, why don't you perfect your drum skills first? He said to me, there's nothing left for me to learn in drumming. I looked at him like, is that supposed to be a joke? Now, I couldn't do it more than clap my hands, so I wasn't comparing him with me, but I had ears. I could appreciate music. And you're telling me there's nothing more for you to learn? I looked at him like, so, he said, I finished the lesson, so it's now his keyboard. So later on, I now mentioned to this other senior guy, we were just talking. I said, no, I was telling this guy, let's call him Chief, because that's how his name starts. Wait, I was telling him that, I said, he can't even play as much as you can. And he said, there's nothing to learn. The guy looked at him like, how do you compare the dead with the living? Like, you can't even compare him with me. I was saying that he can't even play as much as you. He's like, what's the basis of comparison? He said that the guy is so far below him that I can't be telling, he's saying that he's not even as good as you. There's not even as good. There's no comparison. I'm not his mate in any regard. Yet this young man said there was nothing more to learn. I realized why he never made anything out of the music. Nothing. See, it's an attitude thing. Recently, a man was teaching the word. Now, I'm just telling you the kind of attitude one should have. He finished teaching the word. I walked up to him. This was just a few weeks ago. I said, sir, why don't you pray for me so I can teach like you? The man was releasing scripture. Cold. You know, it's a cold. Goose pimple, like, excuse me, this is the same Bible. Hey! I walked to him and said, sir, how did you catch this kind of, and both of us are teachers. And when I saw teaching, I trembled. He said, sir, please pray for me now. At least so small of this grace, let's tap into it. I said, Lord, young God, I behave as if I didn't know. Bro, when I saw somebody who had this grace, I walked across and said, sir, you need to pray for me. You need to. Because in my mind, if I can teach like you, I'm made. The will of God in my life has been done. When he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, that's what he was talking about. That's one of the things that inside that thing. Somebody who knows, I must always get better. And no matter how I feel, let him that thinks he stands take heed. That is, there is a carefulness that must go with your thought of I'm okay. And Peter said, how do you keep standing? He said, keep growing. Paul said, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Peter said, so that you don't fall from your own steadfastness, continue to grow in grace. So the only way you will not fall is to recognize there's advancement to make in this life. So Job, Eli said to Job, you should pray that, Lord, if there's anything I'm not doing right, correct me. It's called iniquity. Many of us think of sin as typical Christians. We think sin, no, most human beings actually, think sin is something that's morally bad alone. Things that are morally deficient, they are sins, certainly. However, that's not all. There are many things that seem morally sound that constitute iniquity, actually. What is sin and iniquity? It's just anything that's short of the way God wants it to be. So the whole of Israel even though they seem to have been obeying an instruction from Moses, which God gave him, they walked as a nation in iniquity because they were allowed to put away their wives for any cause. You know why? Because Jesus said, in the beginning, it was not supposed to be like that. So once you're short of God's standard, that's sin. That's iniquity. Whether you know or you don't. Sometimes we've had this argument. Is it true? We're all born in sin. How can we have not done anything? See, you have to be born in sin. Let me explain. There's no other way around it. It's like, assuming I buy you a very nice device, very sound quality device, made by Fundamentación. All right? That was that company. It doesn't exist. There's a book in front of me, Fundamental. So that's why I just invented the name from it. So, and I come to you with a device. And I give it to you. And it can do anything. It has the best AI features. Hold it. All right? As far as that device is concerned, you are in sin. See, did you do anything? Have you committed iniquity? I gave it to you. Why are you in sin? Who can tell me? Huh? No? No.
No manual of how to use it.
Okay. No manual of how to use it. Okay. Now I'm talking about you. You. Not the device. Why are you in sin just like that? You don't know anything about the device. So if you do anything, you will spoil it. Not because you are bad. There's nothing morally wrong with you. What is just wrong is called lack of knowledge, ignorance. Ignorance is the default state of life. Do you get what I'm saying? So, that somebody is born in sin, you don't need to quarrel with God as if, how can you allow that? No. Being born in sin simply means you're born totally ignorant of what is right. For example, is giving good? Sharing. Do children share defaultly? They don't. Does that mean they are wicked? Are they in sin? Yes. What is sin? Being short of God's standards. That's all. That's why David said, listen to me, ye little children, and I will teach you the fear of God. It has to be taught. So that's why parents will tell the child, yeah, give me now. Then he first gives because somebody said, give as an instruction. The first time the child agrees to give you something is because you instructed. He didn't have mercy on you. But you're playing with the child. Who brought the biscuit? It's not you. Give me small now. Like give me small. Even if the child, of course, the children are wired, that's the way it is. All right? To bond with their mother first. Okay? So then they bond with people around them. Okay? But they don't know how to give as a result of that bond. So the person, mother will say, give me. Now you think it's a request, but the child hears what? An instruction. So the child obeys that instruction. Then after a while, the child learns that giving is one of the things you do. Then you don't realize you're actually telling the child, but I'm hungry now, give me now. Then he's coded. When somebody I'm bonded with is hungry, I have to share what I have. And that's how children keep growing. So that is when they are learning what? The fear of God, the ways of the Lord. I hope you're getting my point. That's when they are learning the ways of the Lord. So let's bear that in mind. So sin does not mean I went and killed somebody, which is what most of us think. You have to do something. Steal somebody's money, commit adultery, you know, lie, bear false witness, go to court and swear by Almighty God that the evidence you will give in this case before this court shall be the truth, the holy truth, and nothing but the truth. And then you come and lie. That's what we call a sin. But we don't know that getting to that court late is probably a sin. Tell your lawyer you'll be there before 8, and you get there at 8:05. It's a sin. You're not aware. Because it's not morally wrong. After all, it's the keke man that caused it. But in heaven, your word failed. That's what is recorded.
You declared. And that's one thing that will never happen with God. With him. If he says, we'll be there 5 minutes to eight. If the moon has to stop, if the sun has to stop, 5 minutes to eight, he'll be there. You see, that's why he's God. And that's why we're saying, you are a sinner. Are you getting the fact that you can't do that? Now, so it's not a moral thing. It's a shortcoming thing. Do you get? Yeah, it's a shortcoming thing. Now, transgression is slightly different. Transgression is they gave an instruction. You heard it. It was clear. Then you transgressed it. That is transgression. That, do you follow my point? Don't go there. And you went there. So, bear that in mind. That is why that prayer that Elihu taught us to pray is crucial. Teach me what I do not see. A lot of work in sin and iniquity is a lack of sight, a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge. And do you know what? I think about our society. That is a major problem. Because some of us, God has given us some light. So when you see people walk in darkness, you're like, why are you doing this? They don't know it's a walk in darkness. Like we read in that Ephesians chapter 4. He said, don't walk any longer as the Gentiles do. Why do they walk like that? Because they are what? Hopelessly confused. We read that from New Living Translation. Say they are hopelessly confused. So many times you see people are walking in that hopeless confusion and you feel sorry for them. There are those you look at because of the little understanding God has granted us. And you can almost tell them this is what will happen to you over the next few years. And then when it happens, some will say, oh, you want to tell him I said so? No, I don't want to tell him I said so. It's like you threw water up, I said to you fall down. Why would I tell you I said so? It's so clear. It's to you that you think, oh, I said so. No, it's not I said so. That's the way life is. It's like they bring a quick money. What do they call that thing? All these money making scheme. They bring a quick money scheme. Anyway, one of them. Whether it's a Ponzi scheme, pyramid scheme. And you start putting money and you go and buy land. And you start your foundation because you are putting money in a Ponzi scheme. And I'll call you and say, bro, don't do that. See, the problem is Pastor Baki doesn't want us to make money. Okay, so I leave it. Then at the end of the day, the whole thing crumbles. Then the bank comes to collect the land you bought and the foundation. And all your neighbors block the gate of the flat you are staying in that you will not go unless you pay us. Then somebody comes to carry your car. Then your police station discussing whether the car is yours or his own, and it's reminding you of the money you took from him. And someone has said, hey, and Pastor Baki said so. Yes, no, Pastor Baki said so. In it. That is the way it always goes. I mean, the way you're going. It's just the way life is. Once these schemes don't make money for people, it ruins 99% of the people that get involved. Do you follow my point? So that's why you feel sorry for people when they are walking hopeless confusion. We were here yesterday discussing. And many people don't know this. Big amount, I'm not talking about you went and invested in Ponzi scheme. They dash you. If you tell somebody now, let me dash you. Should I give you a job where you'll be earning this amount of money and then you progress over time? Or let me just dash you 500 million naira now. Most people will collect the 500 million naira, you know what I'm saying? They will not know that it's a bad idea. There's no talk you want to talk that's the wrong idea. That please, just go here, learn this trade. Let them be paying this amount of money. Ah, say, sir, 500 million. Do you know what I can do with it? You can ruin your life with it. That I know. But this young man doesn't know so. He doesn't know so. Like, hey. He said, what you do with the money? Ha. He wants to persuade God. I'll first pay my tithe. I'll give my pastor money. I'll do roof for our church. All of it to persuade God. Say, please bring the money. After that, income. What he doesn't know is that now he doesn't have money. He's broke. But he's not owing. He just managed to get by. At the end of 1 year, 2 years, He'll be in debt. He'll be running up and down. He'll be hiding from people. But you know, he won't believe it. See, I know human beings. There's no talk you want to talk. He will not accept. The other day, you know the story, was on social media. I didn't even hear about the complications that arose as a result of it. One young man was called something like a water specialist because of how he used to market his water in traffic somewhere in Anambra here. The guy used to speak, you know, smoothly. I saw a clip of him selling bottled and sachet water. And everybody was impressed by him that one water company did something that we could have told them don't do it. But of course, if you told them, you don't want this, you want to deny this guy the opportunity. He said, no, you don't do such a thing. They got him a water shop, paid rent, loaded it with good worth a few millions, bought him a generator, did everything. They invested like 15 million naira on him, a lot of money. Don't do such a thing. A young man hawking water in traffic. You give him this amount of money all of a sudden. Of course, a year later, he was back on social media begging for another opportunity that he won't blow it this time. I said, no, you see, for you to still be begging shows you will blow it again. If you know what's good for you, go back to your traffic and be selling your water. Unless somebody start teaching you on how to account for things. Yes. What they should have done for him, so some people who do good, sorry, this is a small aside. They are not thinking of you. They are thinking of themselves. It was a sheer publicity stunt for the company. I could have told them you are not helping this young man. You don't take a man who is selling water, making a few thousands of naira a day, and giving that much millions all of a sudden. No, now they should have offered him a job in their company. They should have made him a distributor on a daily basis. So what were you selling before? Okay, we'll give you 10 times that. You return our money at the end of the day. That would have made him accountable to their own sales team. And it would have taken years. The young man would have been built up. He's not in that place because nobody helped him. He's there because that's the only thing he can handle. Of course, everything went to zero. Which was predictable. It was predictable. Should you help people? Of course you should. But the kind of person you do that for, somebody was running a business and calamity happened. Yeah, shop caught fire. Do you get my point? Yeah, something calamitous happened and he went to zero. And such a person, you give him that money. In 48 months, the money is triple the size. Because he has it in him. And I've seen it happen before. I've seen it. Look, there's one man I saw. He was in prison in Germany. Then when they released him, they deported him. Now, he didn't do any serious crime. What happened was that he got a visa to a neighboring, those days before European Union, before this year, Schengen visa. He got a visa into a neighboring country and walked across to Germany to do business. So police caught him. And the Germans, they imprison you. They don't just, somebody, the other country will have deported him, but this one they will imprison him. So that's how I come. So for years he had been away from home. I was there when he returned. And the relative of mine that he was talking to asked, how can I help you now? He said, all I need is where to stay. That's what he said. He said, all I need from you is where I will live, where I will just a place to put my head. So, arrangement was made for him to get one room in Mushi. Before he knew what was happening, he was in a spare parts market. He didn't have any money. What was he doing? They had a name, they used to call them, those is in Lagos. They call them Baranda in Lagos. You know them. They enter the market. They don't have a shop. They're like, what do you need? Let me help you get it. They'll just carry up, and at the end of the day, you give them something. Sometimes if you are willing to wait here, they will go somewhere else, get it, put a small markup for themselves, sell it to you. In a short while, he had bought motorcycles. In a short while, he was in transportation business. In a short while, he was collecting goods and selling. Within a short while, he had a shop of his own. Because they had it in him. Nobody gave him money. I'm not telling you a story. I was there when he said, all I need is where to stay. Because it was in him. I hope you're getting my point. And I went to that just trying to explain the principle that if you tell somebody, take this steady, listen, learning pathway. It's not about the income now, but the learning pathway. No, he wants to take the heavy money pathway. Guaranteed, but then you know the flesh will, even me preaching it to you, If you remove 20 years from my life, and 20 years is too small, let's say 30, Okay, let's say 35. Yeah, I'm just thinking about, when I just left university, And you offered me that, forget that. I have to be ruined first before I learn it. It's natural. That's why it's good to be ruined early in life. Say, God, do that thing to me when I'm still young. So I can recover. It's true. So it is right, therefore, for every child of God to continually pray this prayer. That which I do not see. Teach me. The problem, like I said, about this our society is that people are very confused. Blessed are those who spend their time to educate young people, to instruct them in righteousness. A lot of young people now, I just feel sorry for them. I told the story once of a young man that came to see me. We just finished our convention. He came with somebody. You know, we hired equipment, really high equipment, good equipment for the convention. So he was working for our contractor that we use now, the person who owned the equipment. But he's a believer. So after I finished preaching, one of those, he requested to see me. When he told me about his life, I was looking at him, so I can't see what the problem is. His life to me was perfect. Yeah. Was that time he was still doing NYC. Which means federal government was giving money to buy food. The man he was working for gave him a house to stay. For you to be doing NYC, you are less than 30. Yeah, so he was closer to 20 than 30, maybe 24 thereabout. So he finished telling me the story of his life, and also I asked him, so what's the problem? I couldn't see the problem. You know, you're looking at you, perfect young man, very handsome, very broke, which is appropriate for that age. Yeah. It's very appropriate for that age. But you had work you were doing. You are learning skill. No, sound engineering is not easy. When you see sound engineers, respect them. Those speakers they carry, if you know the cost, let me not sit on that one. These are small equipment you see here. When I tell you price, you're like, no, Pastor, you can't be serious. You wear a small microphone, they tell you it's 2 million naira. So you're in a place, a business that's businessy. Do you get what I'm saying? It's working. And you have a room at night. When it's raining, you close the window. When it's hot, you open the window and sleep at the door. You don't need a fan. What are you doing in the fan? You're small, but your brain should overheat so you can think. And he sat with me and said, very good life he had lived. He was a campus fellowship leader. He worked in integrity, and it's by his testimony. He didn't take any money. He didn't mingle with some prominent preachers who had shady movements around them. So I asked, okay, so what is the problem now? He said, God hasn't done anything for him. Yeah. I said, are you serious about that? You know why he said so? Because he had friends. He told me that, sir. Then, this was a few years ago. He said, look, give me a computer, talking about fraud. He said, I'll give you $1 million in a week. That's what his friends were doing. So he didn't do all of that. So he now felt that now I'm doing righteousness. God's supposed to pay. So I asked him, what do you want now? I said, what is the problem now? He said, God hasn't done anything for me. I said, it's been 2 years now. Nothing. This work is nothing. NYC is nothing. A free house is nothing. Being broke at a young age is nothing. I looked at him. I said, mark my words. I said, I can't remember whether I gave him 10 or 15 years. I said, you should go and write the name of all of his friends down and come back in 15 years or 10 years. I can't remember the exact number of years I gave him. I said, write this down and mark my words. I said, every single one of them that doesn't repent soon will either be dead or be so broke they'll be using them to teach young people. I said, go and write it down. I said, this is what you are following your envy now. I said, anyone that will not pull back. So this is a list. This is what will happen to them. I said, go and write it down, mark it up. Ah, God is redeeming you. Hey, you know, the other day I was watching what is his name? The one mafia guy who got born again. I've forgotten his name. I don't want to quote it wrong. He's out there. He's always doing videos and all of that. They interview him. I don't know whether it's Francis. Anyway, don't worry. I'm going to give you the wrong name now. He said something once. He was preaching. So he came to preach. They invited him to a youth program. Of course, he's late 60s now. Invited him to a youth program. There was one statement he made, all right, that shocked me. Not really shocked me. That was very interesting. He said there was a time, one of these prominent American magazines published the names of 30 most influential mob boss, mafia bosses in America. And it was one of them. It was listed as one of them. He said now, of course, this happened over years later now. He was not talking about years later. And that was the state at that time. He said he realized that all of them were dead. Apart from two. All were dead minus two. Out of 30. All of them had died. Of course, you know, there were a lot of them gruesome deaths. So only two were still alive. The other one, apart from him, is serving a lifelong imprisonment without possibility of parole. The only person walking the streets normally, like nothing ever happened, is the one. Out of 30, I'm the only one whose life turned out okay. And he's the only one that gave his life to Christ. So I was preaching to young people that this thing here is not worth following. Now, listen, in today's dollars, he was making like $20 million a week. Yes, at a time. Week. He said, look, it's not worth following. That of 30 of them, all were dead. The only one apart from him that's not dead is in prison. Life imprisonment. He's the only one walking the street normally. Tell the young people that there's nothing out there worth following. Only Jesus is worth following. That's what I was explaining to people. So I told the young man that, what is this we're telling? I told the story of one brother, he's a pastor now. Exactly what happened to him. Young people got into all this fraud, Yahoo business, all those kind of things. The day he was preaching, he was still in his 30s. Should be early 30s, if he's up to 30, maybe late 20s that time. Something happened, they did a deal. He gave his life to Christ. His father is a clergyman. Grew up in a Christian home, but decided to go the way of the world. We're going to see what they are doing there. But good enough, the Lord called him back quickly. Satan now came to entice him back. And said, that deal we did, though, the money has come. Hey! He looked at it. He said, oh, more. See money. And then, you know, Satan won't tempt you with money when you're not broke. Bad money comes as temptation when you're broke. So he looked. He says, and you know the way, good money. So his own reasoning was that, and I've had another young man tell me that. His reasoning was, let me take the money, start up a small business, and then I won't live that life again. Let me tell you, money is tempting. It makes pastors preach the opposite. If you can do that to your pastor, you can do anything to anybody. That's how powerful money is. Anything that can twist the word of God is very powerful. But God gave him one wisdom. He went to his father and confessed everything and told him, if I look at the situation, my friends are offering me money. I don't want to live that life again. But let me just collect the money and use it to start a new life. Father quoted the scripture that anyone who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom. That word entered him. So he went to his friends and said, guys, I'm sorry. I can't take the money. Yeah, those ones are the way you like it. So more money for them, of course. They shared it. I think they were five. Four or five. I think they were five. But they were telling the story. He said, of all five of us, I'm the only one still alive. And it was just in his early 30s. He said, of all five of us, I'm the only one still alive. Please, Some of this I'm telling you, tell the young people around you. Don't ever pursue money. Pursue God. Pursue righteousness. He will bless you. Don't worry. He will take care of you. God takes care of people. God takes care of you. He will take care of you. Let me just say like, he will take care. God doesn't like us to worry. So, you know, one of the sins I confess the most in this my life is worry. Yeah, when I said, God, please now, please, I'm sorry. Why should be thinking thoughts? I like the way the Bible calls it, take no thoughts. I said, look, I shouldn't be thinking thoughts. Let me just be living. Like we were talking yesterday, these reverends and I were here yesterday, not for the online study. I said, some people now come and want to come and put thoughts in your head. Can you believe at this my age and stage in life, somebody just told me I was naked? You know what I mean by that? Who told you were naked? You know? Somebody just told, do you know? You know what I'm talking about, Reverend? Is it told somebody, sorry, God, I'm not saying I'm the biggest person, no, but in King Norwood, I'm the chief preacher. Elder John, they are my subordinates. Some of you think Elder John is older than me. I just call him Elder out of respect for Brother Agbili. He calls me my bishop. So that's why I'm just saying, it's not like I'm too important. I'm very senior to them. In fact, he had to come and visit me before he could marry. So I'm saying, with all of that, somebody had the boldness to make me to tell me you are naked. I can't tell you what the person said. It's you know what was annoying? That the person actually made me think. Didn't tell me what I preached is not good though. Is after all this year of ministry. What do I have? Yeah. Didn't say it to me. Somebody came and he said it to somebody. They came and reported. Bishop wants to faint. Look at him. Yeah. A young man said, and the annoying part, let me not abuse him. He's a young man. Sakari, more naked than me. He just felt that by the time I've done as much as you, will see what you don't do. You know, I was telling you guys that if you're not careful in life, people will just give you agenda. Just give you agenda. Next thing you start raising money. People will say, what happened to Pastor Banky? You won't know. Somebody told him that he's naked. God had to ask, who told you you were naked? See, you know, what was annoying about the whole thing was that, you know, when you reminded me of it, it actually made me think. You know, I was like, what kind of nonsense? Honestly, thank God, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For you know what they are doing. So I say, Father, forgive him, but he doesn't know what he's saying because, what kind of nonsense? I'm not kidding. A man looked me like, after all these years of ministry, what do you get? Thoughts that have never entered my head. If I tell you the kind of work I do in Kingdom, I won't tell you. You'll be embarrassed. You do that? Yes, I do. I won't tell anybody. But I still do it happily, joyfully. I'm very happy to do it because there is nowhere I go, nowhere, I don't get a testimony. And years ago, I landed in Kaduna for the first time to preach. After they said, sir, your words shaped my life. I hear things like, God will bless you, sir. Because God used it to prepare the wife that I married. She introduced me to your messages. She has been listening for the last few years. Now, everywhere I go. And somebody looked at it after all these years in ministry. What thing you get? There's no problem with having silver and gold. Yeah, there's no problem not having it. In fact, I want to say there's no problem not having silver and gold. As long as you can say, such that I have, that you must have something. What is the thing that you have? It made us talk yesterday. That's when I thought, Derek Prince, who I quote all the time. What did he have? Do you know, it had never crossed my mind. Only this joker brought it up. Can I again that many of us listen to? Their Bible school is just across in the same plaza. Many people don't know that he had been in ministry before the Second World War broke out. When the Second World War started, 1939. So he ended there 40, 45, and thereabout, yes. So he was in ministry, I think from his, from the year, the 1930s. You know what he had? Nothing. Until the 70s, when he had the idea to teach his experience of 40 years ministry. So let me teach it to young people so they won't make the same mistakes that others made before them. And he and his wife said they would just get a small place and advertise 50 students would be okay. And as his wife shared it with a friend of theirs, that one said, no, I don't see 50 students. I see a campus. That one just had a vision. And you know what the wife said? No, 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 no. That's not the plan. That's not the plan. The wife started protesting. And the man said to him, sorry, this is how the Lord has determined it. And what he said exactly was what happened. Over the next few years, it became a big campus. Now they have students all over the world. For the first 40 years, all he had was maybe an office. Initially, the office was attached to his house. You know why? He was an itinerant minister. So, the only thing he had was he wrote books and they published his tapes. That's all. They distributed the tapes, published the books, distributed the tapes. It was while thinking about this, I said, wait, Derek Prince. What did he have? He also passed on at almost 90 years of age, late 80s, maybe 89, 88, something like that. Almost 90. That if he didn't hit 90. Same thing with David Paulson. But do you know what the Derek Prince had? He covered and covers. It's gone now, but the ministry is still there. Before social media and all of that, the man was covering half of the globe with the gospel daily. But he had nothing. They were broadcasting his messages on a daily basis in 5 Chinese dialects. Covered most of mainland China. But he didn't have anything. This is not a bragging point. We'll do more than what I'm about to say, okay? But as today, we cover edge to edge more than 2/3 of Nigerian landmass with broadcasting of the gospel to terrestrial radio stations. We're on 24 radio stations. We're on 3 radio stations in Taraba. We're in Adamawa, we're in Gombe, we're in Kaduna, we're in Abuja, we're in Lagos, we're in Ibadan, we're in 3 stations in Anambra, 2 in Enugu, 2 in Imo State, we're in River State, we're in Ebonyi State. I could keep counting. 2 radio stations in Benue State. Sorry, please, I'm not bragging on. Because to me, what have we done yet? If you check landmass, people that can hit Nigeria, you know, it's more than 2/3 scope. I said 20 something radio stations. How many now? Is it 24? I mentioned with a lot of the ones. Did I tell you about Kogi? I could keep counting. Kwara. Oh, I didn't tell you Kwara. Why in Kwara? Why in Kogi? Oh, did I tell you Bauchi? Yeah, why in Bauchi also? Most of Middle Belt. The whole of the Southeast. Forget that one. That's our house. That's where we are. Much of our Did I mention Edo? Do you get my point? I think we started the other day in Cross River. Yes. I could continue counting up. But because we are preaching, I may have missed out a few. Yes, somebody said that after all these years, what do I have? We are broadcasting the word of God. It's not something we have. But we like it such as we have. That's what we have. We like it like that. You go to our website, it's 1,800 messages there. Download free of charge. These 10 minutes we give to you, we have over 600 in the archive. And somebody said, after all these years in ministry, what do you have? He can't say it to me because I will slap him. This is Nigeria, you know, nothing will happen. So, I will physically. You go to say Nigeria, boom, you go hear the knock for head. They say, oh, yeah. Say, rubbish and nonsense. In this life, you are going your own JJ. Just give you a point. The reference has scores of books covering half of the globe daily with the gospel. But this same young man will walk up to him and say, after all these years, what does he have? And most of those places they broadcast him, it was not him. Oh, I forgot to mention that. They will just inform him that his messages are under air in this place. Who pays for it? Maybe one of those will meet him one day. Yes, sir. Good morning, sir. We are the ones arranging Derek Prince Ministries, New Zealand. Oh, you are the one. God bless you. Praise for them. They continue their work. He continues his life. Well, let's get back to our message. That's why it's very important you keep, sometimes you see, we have wrong thoughts in our hearts. See, as Christians, what determines our life more is a thought in our hearts, not just the actions we take. And when you are working with God, He's more concerned about the thoughts that are inside your heart. Thoughts that shape your personality. Let me say that again. The Lord is more concerned about what you think. That is, I don't mean fleeting thoughts that just, you know, you watch football. So you'll be thinking Arsenal and Borussia Dortmund. That's not what I mean. I mean thoughts that actually shape your heart. For example, your value system. Just like I said now, that if they gave a young man the opportunity to take a job, a learning job, where he will learn skill, a trade, learn some things, or get a lot of money, which one will he pick? So that's what I mean, thoughts that shape your decisions, your actions, things that you do. The things that shape your life, those are the kind of thoughts. For example, what do you think about marriage? What are you you're not married, though. But what are you thinking about it? Or you're married, how are you thinking? What are you thinking about the concept of children? What are you thinking? Your work, what are you thinking? That's what concerns the Lord. Because when the thoughts are wrong, you cannot make the person do what is right. See, as a man thinks in his heart, that really is how he is. So the Lord is more concerned about shaping how you think than what you do. So what you need to do in your life is present your thoughts to the Lord. That's why David said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Because the thoughts and intents are in the heart. And some of these things, they are deeper. They are so deep, we don't know they are there. Yeah. They are so deep, we don't know they are there. And when God said the heart of man is deceitful, what it means is that, see, those things are so deep, you don't know they are there. The ones you that are convenient for your thoughts are the ones you use. That make for your, how do I say it now? For your emotions, yes. You want to believe you're a good man. You want to believe you're a good woman. But occasionally, God has to provoke those deep things to come to the surface so you can get rid of them. He's not angry. I wish we would understand the Lord. Anger is slow with him. The Bible says he's what? slow to anger. And one of the reasons why he's slow to anger is that he understands. Like, you're 1 year old, knocks your cup over and spills water on the rug and maybe smashes a glass in the process. A 1 year old. What are you concerned about? He didn't enjoy himself. So you're displeased that the cup is broken. You're displeased that the rug is wet. But no, you're not taking the literature, you're not taking the hand. Don't do that again. Don't do that again. Yeah. You start crying. Then you carry him, pat him. Just want him to know that this is not a good thing to do. Next time, be careful. But anger, the guy needs like 2 more years to annoy you. 3 more years. Do you understand? You're slow to anger because you are mindful, but a baby. That's how God is. However, you see, even though he's slow to anger, he has to take some actions. Because he said, this way this thing is going is not good. So he has to dig them out. Like I said last time, I ended last time with it, that light does not drive away darkness the way we think. It only illuminates it. Which means that I said that darkness is a thing. Or darkness has things. There are things of darkness, all right? They are there. So light will come, shine, and expose them. Those things, they thrive in darkness. So those things of darkness, they thrive in the absence of light. So light shines on them, but light does not drive away the things of darkness. It doesn't. They must be consciously taken and removed by the owner of the space. Do you get? So if God shows me covetousness in my heart, light won't drive it away. Light will show it to me. So I now get up, take covetousness to the place of prayer and say, Lord, hey, today when they were sharing money in the office, I had lost my cool before I realized it was money. Me and one brother held each other's shirt. Until somebody said, brethren, this is money. Oh. Eh? They will say it's not the kingdom of God. So that's why I now come to prayer. I say, God, please. This incident was not repeated. You know, this reverend that me told a story yesterday. I won't repeat the story in detail because I don't want you to know what he was talking about. And if you're not listening, sorry for you. He said that there were 2 people fighting over money. Prominent people. Then one man, senior to both of them, called them and said, do you realize that this, your fight, is in the public space and it could embarrass the name of Jesus? And one of them looked at him, hissed and walked away. And you know what he said when we were discussing, if you listened in, that, oh, that name didn't shock you. It didn't shock you out of your senses that, look, oh, we're embarrassing this name in the public space because of money. And the person just, I beg, excuse me, is that why you should take my money? Ah, they just tell you, he told you now you're embarrassing the name of the Lord. He didn't even make you stop and say, oh, God, okay, what he's doing? Is he good? Okay, you know, nothing. Just his and he walked away. It's okay. But after that, you should go home and say, God, did I just walk away? Because of money. Hey, Lord, I'm sorry. You come out and sing, so Father God, your name is hallowed and exalted. Oh, Lord, let your thunder fire money. You know, that kind of thing. You should walk, see, in life, you should be able to walk away from money. I've told this story many times. How did you know? A man made a claim on his money for nothing. And he said, we'll go to court for that. As he turned away, Holy Spirit said, go and give him the money. Ah, give who? What? But Lord, you know he doesn't deserve a dime. He's making it. Let me just give you the word of the Lord. I'm thinking about how God was thinking that time. Is it no money? If he fought over a piece of thread, we'll be talking about this. If there's a dead cockroach in your yard and that's what people are fighting over, we'll be here. Why do you think money is more important than all of those things? Lutonul turned to the man and told him, come. How much did you say you wanted? Yeah, I said half. Okay. Let me tell you how much half is. Showed it to him. You want it? Yes. He wrote him a check. Take. Foolishness. That one took. Like I keep on saying, there are things you don't take. That one took it all. But I'm talking about money. That God just says, it's money. You know, there's something Jesus Christ said in that context. He said, give to them that ask of you. So he said, anyone that wants to take from you, he said, don't fight. This is not money. I will let him take it. Let me tell you how money is with the Lord. When he wants to give you money, he will tell two angels, go and give him all the money he will think about the next 1 week. If he thinks about it, because the angels can see the thoughts, make sure he gets it. They will pump money in your direction. You will get tired of seeing it. God has control. I wish you understood this. His control is massive. He wants a Christian of God. Don't say, money, I believe that thing. Don't let it direct your life. Don't let it control you. No. I'm just giving an idea. Those thoughts. So in your mind, if you can make money, my money is good. No, that's one thing. Who was it that said it? That I've thought that before. I heard different ministers say that. One day they say, my money is good. God said, my friend, shut up. God is good. There's no good but God. Some people go to places, when I reach there, money is good though. That statement is offensive to the Lord. That's why you're not being misbehaving, you run after it. If it's one that is good, thank God for you. Say, wow, this house is beautiful. Thank God, my God, wow. The builder of all things is God, amen. Wow. Yeah, leave it. Somebody's wearing something. Very nice. Wow. Not, money is good, though. No, the Lord finds it offensive. There's no good but God. God can give it to somebody without money. He said, that person needed money to buy it. See, when you want to defend mammon, you just be talking nonsense. And God said, no, the person did not need money. He needed favor. There's a difference between money and favor. You know that? He said, he just commanded, come, I turned angels to material persons and they said, come, go and build a house for him. Go and get him that. And they worked on it. What do you mean no money is good? Have you not heard, man shall not live by bread alone. Money is bread. There's nothing money can produce that I can't produce with a word. If God blesses a man, don't just ascribe that it's because he has money. That's what people do. They keep on saying, where is his money coming from? One day, man saw me. I was doing proofreading for books, wanted to print. He said, guy, now I know. This is where your money is coming from. I looked at him. He was older than me. So I couldn't tell him what I thought. You still have to respect your seniors, you know? Yes. Secondly, I knew he was confused, not hopelessly, because he was a Christian. And third, I couldn't brag on my good works, in quotes. So I just look at everything, now I just shut up. Because as at that time, every book we had printed had lost money on it. Everyone. For different reasons. And we didn't stop printing. They were small books. They were not printed to make, if it is money. See, naturally speaking, Lord, please, you know, I love the ministry, I love your work, I just want to explain something. Naturally speaking, it was not worth my time. I really thank God for the blessing he has given me as a person. The idea that our books on our website, download it, please go. People say, you won't market it. I say, marketing takes effort. The money I'll make from marketing is not worth the effort, the headache. Let them download it. I just want them to read it. If it is, naturally speaking, if I invested my natural time, energy, and skill, whatever you could make from selling, do you know? Many of you don't know. If you are not in America, if you don't sell in America, it's very hard to make money from books. Yeah, no, let me explain. Americans easily sell 1 million copies of a book. Or let's even say 200,000 copies. So if Amazon can help them market and push, and you give the author, you manage to get the author $1.50 after selling 200,000. Check how much that is. That's $300,000. To sell 200,000 books in Nigeria. How you want it done? If it's movie, they can 10 million views, it's not a problem. But book. Let's leave that. If you now put a price on it that's big, your sale just drops. The Lord is good. So find something good to do. Continue to do what is right. We're talking about thoughts. So God is concerned about those thoughts. There are things that will happen. They didn't happen to you. But God wants to see. God wants you to see how you react when you observe it in somebody else. You hear what I said? Yeah. See, if anything happens around, just ask yourself, how am I reacting? How am I thinking about this thing? That's what God is concerned about in you. That's what he's concerned about. He wants to know the kind of force that is inside your heart. And every time he allows both personal experiences and the news of other people's experiences to come to you. No, you see, let me tell you, he can see it too. I hope you understand that. And he can see that heart of yours clearly. You are the one that can't see it. I've heard people say before, you know, there are two people you can't deceive. You can't deceive God, you can't deceive yourself. No, that's not true. You can't deceive God, correct? Amen? Can you deceive yourself? Certainly. Ah, we deceive ourselves every day. I still deceive myself this morning. Until I had to look. Go small aside. Pray. What did I say?
Pray.
Always pray. Get on your knees and solve your problems. And be open. Tell the Lord the truth. Don't rationalize anything. Don't explain it. Just tell the Lord the way it is. If you are afraid, say it. Say, Lord, let me be honest with you. You say I should go. I have this feeling you are telling me to go into this ministry. I don't have a problem with ministry. The problem I have with you is poverty. Say it there. It's not like I will not obey you, but Lord, okay. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. But just note it, shall. Just say it there. Be honest about it. Let me tell you about God. Sometimes our Father looks and laughs. There's nothing he loves more than that honesty. He said, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, no pretense, no deceit. One of the things the Lord helped me learn early. I actually heard, jokes apart, I heard a testimony about women talking about it behind my back. That's one thing they like about banking. I was single. And it's not as if they will marry me, but they're just talking about me. That he's so open, he's so sincere. Yeah, because, you know, I told myself, nobody will put me under undue pressure. See, one day my wife, when she first met, said I talked too much. I said, you don't get the point. It wasn't too much talk. It was disclosure. You know what they call disclosure? It was disclosure. Since I couldn't come and give you a form, what do you call this form now? Asset declaration form. I couldn't do that. I had to use style to be declaring assets. Yeah. I made it clear what my desire in life was. That was to preach the gospel. I didn't promise. I made promises based on faith, which both of us knew was faith. Like, just marry me, I'll take you around the world. You know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. So that guy, I could say that. But I didn't tell you I had what I didn't have. I didn't tell you I had plans I did not have. My wife knew I had no plans. She knew the only thing I knew was what I was doing now. I didn't even know what would happen because I was about to finish my residency. I didn't know what would happen after. And I made it clear to her because I don't want you to... There's one girl one day in Enugu here. She went and carried talk to almost kill her husband. They beat the man. Seriously. Yeah. You know why? Because she took the children away from him. They were in Lagos. Brought them to Enugu. Kept them in a school here. The man investigated and found where his children were. So he came to the school to see them. She went, raised the alarm, called him a kidnapper. They came to lynch him. Was one man that was passing that saw how neat he looked and intervened, called police. Police had to extricate him, drag him to the station, and they now interviewed the woman. Listen to this. He lied to her that he was rich.
Checkmate.
That was her complaint. He chased her, lied to her. She had two or three children for him, believing he had money. Then once she realized how broke this bugger was, she got angry, packed her children, and said it to the reporter. So the reporter, if you like, you can print it. I don't mind the idiot. He lied to me that I was rich. Meanwhile, I had nothing. I said, good for him. The woman brought talks to him. They were going to kill him for daring to locate the school where she hid the children, to visit his own children. How can a poor man like you have children? What I'm telling you, they printed the whole thing. I read the newspaper. I took interest because it's our city. Don't be spoiling our name. You know where they now go and read this thing in Lagos and say, no people have come. You know where we did not come, where we were. They had, if it's from Lagos, they brought the problem to us. The lady's complaint was that the guy lied. Told myself, I'm not going to lie to anybody. They said, Brother Van, you don't have a car. I said, I don't have money. I didn't say more than that. Did they prostrate to collect keke? That's the proverb. I just gave the proverb. She knows what I'm talking about. It's a proverb in Western Nigeria. I say, you can't go to the keke market. That's bicycle. You want to buy. They will beg. You say, I beg now. I'm a good boy. They don't do that. You come, you give them money. They don't care whether you're a devil or you're an angel. They give you your car. So I say, you don't have a car. I say, I don't have money. Why don't you have money? I don't know. This is where I work. This is what they pay. I don't. That is good. So I told myself, nobody will put me under attention. Nobody. That was why I practiced full disclosure. So that, girl, if you know you can't manage this guy, be going. True now. One day I remember I attended for our fellowship on campus. That's when I first met my wife. She was just leaving school. The dress she wore for that thing, that's what I was looking at the whole night. I still have the picture of it. And I knew those clothes. I looked at this thing. I'm not exaggerating. It's not exaggeration. 5 yards of it then will cost almost my whole month's salary. I'm not exaggerating. If I'm mistaken, there's half. But no, it's more than half. Because I had a relative that's the kind of thing she wore. So I understood the now you wear come party like, yeah. Sorry, immediately I brought up the matter. I said, what do you wear? Of course her mother gave it to her. I said, yeah, my mother let you wear this kind of thing. She no say young boys know they buy this kind of thing. I say, I also wear print. I say, you better wear print. You had better wear print because this black man is planning to buy only print. Is he wicked? No. That's the only thing he can afford. That was then. But now, there's no cloth she wants to wear I can't pay for. Yeah. Sometimes I don't even have to pay. All I need to just indicate interest. And it will be delivered. But that time, there was nothing like that. Oh, Bishop, there was nothing like that. So, and I made it clear to her, I shall dash your cloth, but it shall be made of print. The one that it won't take, even my tithe can buy it. Not the one that you have to collect the whole burnt offering to buy. There are different kinds of offerings. Well, I don't know. Can we preach our message? We're just here telling stories. Please, you know, today I tried to, but it didn't work. The Lord is good. So God is concerned about the thought of our hearts. And that's what he's working on, all right? That is what he's what? Working on. And that's why that prayer, you know, we began all of this because of the prayer we read from Job. That which I do not see, teach me. Because there are times you have thoughts in your heart, even you don't know they are there. So that's why David said, search me, O Lord. And know my heart. He said, try me and know my anxious thoughts. Because sometimes, the truth is that those anxious thoughts, they actually control what we do. They do. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. I just read from Psalm 139, the last two verses there. That's 23 and 24. Okay? Now, the word anxious is very important. He said, my anxious thoughts. These things actually lead us more than we realize. Our anxious thoughts. Sometimes, you've seen it again and again. One day somebody, the lady actually told me the truth about it. Took an action, was leaving the country and all of that. And now you will notice something, the way Nigeria has been in recent times. Now, when my own mates were going abroad those days, mostly were generally poor. Can I use the word poor? Struggling, people couldn't see the future, what it would be like. You know, you're young, you have responsibilities and all of that, you have to go. But now, that's not what we have a lot these days. A lot of these days, people have met their responsibilities, they've built houses, you know, they've lived in them. Do you follow my point? They have things, and suddenly, anxious thoughts still come up. Those days, our anxious thought was, what shall we eat? What shall we drink with? What shall we clothe ourselves? So, anytime opportunity presented itself, people left to go for greener pastures. But now people don't go for greener pastures now. They go for safer pastures. At the end of the day, it's all anxious thoughts. Because now, let me give you an example. You're going to some countries right now. You have a family of five. Those days were yearly single people that went. Or you went without your wife and, you know, kids. That's what happened those days. But now people tend to go five persons. So you are looking at literally scores of millions of naira. So you ask yourself, excuse me, if you could afford this, then you don't have the kind of anxiety we had, which was, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? So what is your current anxiety? Then this is what I hear all the time. You know, the children. Second, where's the country going? Now, all of this is what the Bible calls anxious thoughts. Please, these are the things that control us. That's what the Bible calls anxious thoughts. So, many times people do some things, you just look like, the person I was talking about, when she came and spoke with me, I was confounded. You know, like, excuse me. So what could be the problem? Bishop, that's the person I mentioned the other day. And I said, this person has left the country. Do you remember? Yeah, because of the rank the fellow held in the particular industry. So like, for what now? And the woman said that, listen to this, said, my husband is afraid. Yeah, she was honest about it. That he's afraid. Afraid of what? One day he may get sacked. One day this can happen. There may be crisis in the office. He will lose his job. Then the industry will have nothing left for him. You know, I was confounded. But bear it in mind, that's what they call anxious thoughts. Now, if you're watching from outside, you can't relate with it. Just like you say, if you give me 300 million, I will never be broke for five generations. That kind of thing. That's what you're thinking. If they give me this kind of progress and prosperity in this life, I mean, if somebody who's living that, what they are disposing of is land here, like maybe, please, so we have like six plots here, who wants to buy? We have eight plots here. You know, that's those kind of things. We have cars, we have this, you know, the house here, house there. So you're like, what? Of course, you won't tell an average person. But the anxious thoughts are so strong. See, it will keep you up at night. To those of you who don't have that kind of anxiety, you can't understand. Again, you know, I keep saying, Christians, learn how to what? Pray. Should you have those anxious thoughts? Not a problem. It's what you do with them. Get on the knees. This is just a personal recommendation. It's not, you can do it anyway. I always say, wait till at night. When everybody, not because God only answers at night, but because there will be no distraction. dear Lord. And please, can I go back to it again? You don't need to hail him. Don't whine. There's no method to prayer. There's no, let us, no, you kneel down all by yourself. You want to pray. You first take praise worship. Only you. I will enter your gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter your courts with praise. Only you. They start speaking King James English when only you want to pray. See, King James English is good when you want to lead the rest of us. Let's know you read your Bible. So you can show up to us. Oh, today we have come to see the Lord who as he dwelleth on his mightily exalted throne and light unapproachable. It's us you are doing it for. See, leave that in. The Lord knows you don't know what you are saying. It is us you are doing it for. And we too will follow you. I keep on saying, you don't know which light can be approached. The one that can, I know it's in the Bible, but just that you don't know. When you want to, please, I'm being, see, you get on the knees. I'm not saying don't praise God. At such times, my experience is you don't need to sing. Just say to him, dear Lord, wahala de. And you are the God that solves wahalas. That's the praise that's appropriate. One of the things I do, or I go, I believe is the, because when I've seen the things God has done as a result of such prayers, I kind of think that is very good. I remind him of things he has done for me before. I say, Lord, because you know this in the scriptures. What did the prophet, is it Hanani? What did he say to, what's the name of our guy? Asa. He said, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not an immense army, but you called upon the name of the Lord and then he delivered them into your hands. He told him what he should have remembered that God did for him before. Of course, it's not for him, to be honest. It's you that your faith is being boosted. It's good to rehearse what God has done for you and for people that you know about. You know how our brother said the other day, remember that testimony he gave, how you intervened. No, that's why I have come. By the time you tell two or three stories like that, your faith rises. Now, you don't feel it, but it actually, truly rises. Say, Lord, is that fear that has made me come? I just have this funny feeling that something will go wrong in the office one day, and I will be implicated. And Lord, please, my hands are clean now. And if my hands are not clean enough, Lord, please help me to fully cleanse my hands. I won't lie to you, Lord, I am afraid. Why have I come? Take fear away from me. Let me give you my future again. I don't want to make decisions because of fear. Say that to the Lord. I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you know things that are right, you know, like, Lord, this one I will continue to do. Where I work, I'll continue to be faithful. No matter the threats, I will not be angry with anybody. Yes. Make the declarations. The other day, I heard these two people were plotting. Lord, from now on, I will not fight anybody that's plotting against me. My experience is that usually faith gives you one particular instruction to obey. Normally, they're not big things. So, like this one, I say, from now on, if they say anything, nobody asks me directly, I won't say anything. If they ask me directly, I will be short about it and say, leave that thing, it's not true. That is, but go out to go and fight and defend myself, I won't do it again. And if they are going to sack me, Lord, let them sack me. But please, I would prefer they don't sack me. If you want me to live here, let me live with honor. In Jesus' name I have prayed. Amen. You know what the Bible says? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will come and guard your heart and your mind. Anxious thoughts. People make, this is the painful part. If you don't tackle these thoughts of anxiety, they will mislead you. There are those, you know, Chinese man has a saying. The Chinese, you know, they have a lot of proverbs like we have in Africa too. All right? They don't have much in English, do they? Just one or two. It's teaching time, says nine. Okay, that one's good. A bird in hand is worth two in the bush. They say things like that, right? But Chinese man has deep ones like Africans do. Chinese man said, men often meet their destiny
on the path they chose to avoid it. Very deep. I heard that thing from Ugwe. Yes. It's a Chinese proverb. Men often meet their destiny on the path they chose to avoid it. You know what I'm saying, so? Please, brethren. Now, what I want to say is for Christians. Please, I'll get back to my message. I understand this is the prophetic side of this teaching. So let me just stay there. I can't quench the spirit. What I want to say is for Christians. Don't ever look for solution outside God. Any solution you're looking for, make sure it's the Lord's leading. That is when I say Lord's leading now, is that it can't be a general solution that everybody's using it. I'll get practical in a moment, okay? But you know, there's one thing God said in Isaiah. He said, okay, let's read this. Please, I'll say what I want to say. If I forget to say, just tell me, say, hey, that thing you were warning us about. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 50, sorry. It's not 45, it's 50. I'll read that one, then I'll read another one in a moment. In verse 10, it says, who is among you who fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands. He said, walk, now notice this is a warning, walk in the light of your fire and among the brands you have set ablaze. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. You will see, before this, it was talking about those who fear the Lord, yet they don't see results in their lives. It seems. That's what he's saying. He said, what should you do? Let him continue to trust in the name of the Lord, and let him continue to rely on his God. These things are very practical. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? Keep on doing what is right. If you located what is right to do, don't ever stop doing it. Pray, that which I do not know, teach me. That's how you know. That is, like I said earlier, you say to the Lord. And that's one thing I've noticed. Usually I leave the place of prayer on such things with a commandment. The commandment comes, I can say the Holy Spirit said, but it kind of comes with a conviction. Like the story I've told many times. When I was in school, I had a problem with a particular subject. My third year, I left the one word, stop saying it's volatile, and start reading it, two words. And as soon as I got to class, a classmate of mine came to tempt me to say the thing I just left there, saying, don't say again. I often have those words, like the one I give now, anxiety. God can say, okay, henceforth, the sign of faith, because faith is about faithfulness to something you heard. The sign of faith is, henceforth, when they plot in this place, don't defend yourself. I'll take up the fight. I will defend you. And if it seems like their conspiracy succeeds against you, I am the one that made it succeed. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 54. Because if I said it should not, it will not. After all, the conspiracy against Joseph succeeded. He landed in as a slave. The conspiracy of Mrs. Potiphar succeeded. He landed in prison. But those were the steps towards the palace that God was taking him to. So sometimes you hear the word, you just know that henceforth, you don't defend yourself again. Don't fight. Don't fight for promotion. The other day, when I was in Sokoto, Dr. Fabian was teaching. He said something very interesting. He said he went for an interview in one NGO, one of these medical, establishments, they go to reach maybe leprosy, tuberculosis, or stuff like that. So they said, after the interview, they liked him anyway. They said, how much would you like to earn? He said to them, anything. So they were like, what do you mean? It goes on like that. So the person now mentioned one ridiculous figure. We'll pay you 10,000 naira a month, though. He said, I will take it. So it was a joke. In that time, I said, you don't understand. He said, you can't possibly pay me for what I plan to offer me, offer you anyway. That was the statement he made to them. He told them, he wasn't trying to brag. Just when he said, look, you don't understand. What I plan to offer you, I couldn't value it in money anyway. So anything you bring, I will accept. They thought it was odd.
Of course, such people, most of the time, they already have their standard pay. They just want to see how it fits with you. So they gave him money. Do you know, long after he left them, was he still there? But one day they called him and said, oh, sorry, we realize we have been underpaying you for a certain amount of time. Then they paid him the balance. He said, I didn't ask them for anything. In fact, he said they got two for the price of one. Because his wife was not working somewhere else. So she was working with him actively, and they were not paying for her. So when God says, don't worry about these things, he said something. Oh, very interesting testimony. He said, three times this thing has happened. When he left them because he wanted to go and start out ministry, he has a teaching ministry. When he left, they wanted them to stay. He begged them that he had to go somewhere else. Okay? Then he now took a part-time appointment in the university, teaching preclinical students. The same thing. Whatever they paid him, he took. Then one day he sat down. Somebody called him and said, Doc, he's a doctor. Look, this is how much they are paying you. Said the fellow, yes. That's not right. Why is it not right? He said, because you're medically qualified. If you're a teacher, you're supposed to get these allowances that the clinical people get, that kind of thing. Oh, they said, sorry. They calculated like 2 years. The money was up to what they had been paying monthly before. For 2 years, they paid in one fell swoop. He didn't ask anybody. He said, I didn't beg anybody. Somebody was one that called me and said, look, I saw your payslip. What is wrong here? Said that happened three times. The last three places he worked, what happened each time? He will leave. Somebody will call and say, we're underpaying you now. Please come and take your money. Each time you go and pour a burden before the Lord, you, at least that's been my experience, you leave there with an instruction to obey. Surely small, not one big thing. Go and cut a big tree. No. Go to your village and go and uproot something. No. Just a lifestyle, a thought process, you know, things usually they have to do with your faith. So God can say, don't defend yourself again. Like the story we've told many times, Ron Kenoly, what did he leave there with? No more application to anybody that you want to record an album. Just sit here and be doing your church work. The other brother, I told the story last time. No more applications. There are two things I gave you to do in this season. Be faithful in this season. What are the two things? As a university lecturer, junior lecturer, maybe like an assistant lecturer, and the church was an assistant pastor amongst the youth. He said, these are the two things God gave me to do in this season. So God was saying, put your effort into it. No, we analyzed the other day, Bible study. What does it mean to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might? Put your whole soul into that. Put your mind. He said he will spend his money, I forgot to give that part of the story, for his students. So they're having problems, he will give them money. He just said, these people are my assignment for now. He was so into it that his father said he had lost direction. He was so into it, his father thought he was confused. And what happened was that he was listening, that's why he wrote to me, he was listening to our teachings. And I explained some of these things. That you are too, essentially what he heard was that you are grabbing too much. Relax, let God take care of everything. But he left there with this instruction that this is my assignment for now. And he poured his heart into it. To finish his testimony, he said, it wasn't plain. 2 years later, I use the exact words. He said, 2 years later, he said, Jesus surprised me. That the one Jesus pulled on him, the one this our Lord pulled on him, it was a shock. From nowhere, just got one application he dropped years ago. He said, come for interview. They wanted to select, last time I said four, I'm not very sure it was four, but it's very few. There were thousands of applications all over Africa. They were selecting less than 10. I said four that day, I think it's four or five, I'm not sure. Maybe about five. But less than 10. And it was one of those they selected. Paid for everything. Go and do a PhD. Paid for everything. Please notice this one. Have you read this one? Okay. This 50.
verses 10 and 11. Isaiah chapter 30. He said, woe to the rebellious children. Let me read New Living Translation. I'll go back down and say, what sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make plans that are contrary to mine. You make alliances not directed by my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. You have put the destiny of your children in a foreign country's protection. So you have put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You have tried to hide in his shade, that is under his cover. So by trusting Pharaoh, you will be humiliated. And by depending on him, you will be disgraced. For though his power extends to Zoan, and his officials have arrived in Hanes, all who trust in him will be ashamed. He will not help you. Instead, he will disgrace you. Please bear this in mind. This, he said, you will get out of my hand. So this will happen to you. You will lie down what? Yes. So this will get off my hand. You will lie down in torment. He said, what sorrow awaits those who make plans that don't follow mine? They make alliances not directed by my spirit. Now, let me get back to the one I wanted to give. Christians, when you are making... Now, again, before I give the one, let me first give this explanation. Every problem has a divinely appointed solution. And you will discover it in scriptures. So anytime you're looking for a solution, your mind should be, what is God's appointed solution? Can I quickly say this? It's usually not the one everybody is using. Divinely appointed solutions are usually not all over the place. It's not something that everybody is doing at that time. Occasionally, rarely, it might coincide, but usually it is not something that everybody knows. Are you getting my point? God has a divinely appointed, which are based on precepts. And when you study the scriptures with prayer, all right, the Holy Spirit, look, our Father is real. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be with you always. He will guide you into all truth. The problem a lot of us have is that we stick with what we think we know and what counsel unbelieving persons are giving us. Some of them are Christians. Some people will say something sometimes. If you hear counsel that people have given, some of them based on lies. That is... Sorry, we are streaming. I can't say some things. They say... You are following this man's advice. He has already taken care of himself. He's advising you. I can't say some things that people say. When you hear it, you're like, are you planning to go to heaven? See, every solution has a divinely ordained... Sorry. Thank you. In my head, I had problem. I didn't know the solution I said. Every problem has a divinely ordained solution. And I said, the Holy Spirit is very real. Jesus said he will be with you. He will as you're praying, paying attention to his word, he will guide you into what you are supposed to do. Don't let everybody go into Egypt. Be your manner of solving your own problems too. Please bear that in mind. Sometimes the solution to, and this I've counseled people with this many times. As they are talking, I'm listening. At the end, what is the only counsel I have for them? I said, God, say, go and relax. In fact, especially those who, their problem is not immediate lack, it's anxiety. A friend of mine told me something once. God has blessed him financially, all right? If it's money, he has. In fact, we used to mock him. The anytime you want to sell dollar, just call him. He'll buy. And whatever price. When dollar was going for 400 naira, bring it, he'll buy. He went to 1,008. At the peak of 180, he will still buy. No.
He has never declined because money is too much. He explained to me that sometimes he needs it for the work he does, because his equipment, they have to be replaced. And these are highly sensitive equipment. You know, they are precision equipment that he has to keep buying and all of that. Whatever it is, he always buying. So now one day he was not talking with me. He said, "Banky." He said, "One day I thought of how to keep money." He said, "I said if I keep it in Naira, it's losing value." He said, "Then I said that let me keep it in dollars." Then I said, "Maybe we should use pounds." Then I thought about euro. Yeah, my friend told me. Why was he telling me? He said, "Then I realized I was sweating." He said, "I was in an air-conditioned room. I was sweating." He said, "That's when I realized anxiety had gripped him on how to keep the money that God had given him." Do you know the divinely ordained solution to that? I was saying that usually I tell people to relax. God actually gave that divinely ordained solution. It's very clear. He said, "Don't lay it up on the earth." So when where should I keep it is a sin. That thought is anti-God. The thought of where will I keep it, God will not tell you where to keep it. He has said, "Don't keep it." Pastor, what should he do? Does he not go to church? How much is the money? 100 million naira. You don't know where to keep it. Go to church now. Next Sunday. Drop 10 million in the offering. What are we talking about? Announce scholarship for everybody in church. Please, anybody has not paid their WAEC is coming up, GC is coming up, whatever it is. Just whisper to the pastor. "Please, I have this 5 million naira for those who need it to pay exam fees." Don't you have friends who are ministers? Am I not a minister? Bank, how's your ministry doing? Cut it. How much is money? 100 million. God said, "Don't keep it." You've eaten a lot. God said, "Don't keep it." The rich fool who packed up money, you understand? He had a field. It was a field that was productive. What was God saying? "Are you an idiot? Won't he produce next year?" No. Everything has a divinely ordained solution. Most of the time, we don't like it. God said, "Don't worry. See, put it in any currency. If you're a believer, let me just tell you. Your money is not a game of chance. The angels watching over it. If a bank collapses over your money, don't cry. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken." You see, I pray you will understand. Don't worry about, the Lord bless you to get what I'm saying. Don't worry about it. There's a testimony I've shared before. I heard of somebody. Somebody took his money. He gave the person money to buy a car. The person did not bring the car. After a long time, he went to church. Pastor preached one message that he just called the person. Say, "That car, don't bring it again. The money, I dash you. Don't refund the money. Don't bring the car. I want nothing to do with that thing further from now on." Now, for those who are very wise and superstitious, I told you, they don't agree. So that one came, looked for money. And before the end of that week or that day, I can't remember the exact length of time, but in a short time, refunded his whole money. The guy said, "You don't understand. I wasn't threatening you. I wasn't exasperated. I made a statement of fact to you. I have forgotten that money. I have dashed it to you. I don't want the car. I don't want the money. I want to wipe you off my brain." So since he had the guy's account number, he wired the money back. That one said no. That one got the money and sent it back to him. He said, "You don't get what I'm saying. I will not take this money from you." He sent it back. And he wasn't angry. So no, I just told God, "Lord, I'm not interested again." That month, he got 2 new cars. Yes. His wife came from work, said, "My guy just called me that her staff on her Keda should have motor. See the keys." He got one, his wife got one. She drove it home, official car, but it's her own to use. See, if you're a Christian, these things are not, they're not random. If you keep money somewhere, if God says, "I will collect it," I will collect it. I've told this story many times, no need to tell it again, but my friend, he told me by himself that he went and pledged money. Said the Lord, "Say this month to all the money they want to give. Pay us in the office, I will give it to you, Lord. So he told his wife that, I've given that salary to the Lord. The wife got angry. How could you make a play to the Lord without my consent? She harassed him until he reversed the pledge. God said, there's no reversal. Do not say before an angel is an error. I've heard that. He told me by himself. Said that money, God collected every dime. I said, what happened? Said my child fell ill. Went to hospital. When half of the money was gone, the child got well. Then they went home. He told me the kind of expensive drugs they had to buy. So when half of the money was gone, the child went home. Then the car engine, a knock. When the balance half was gone, the car got fixed. He said, banker, I totaled, it was the whole money. I said, you're lucky it didn't take you fourfold. Sometimes God, they charge interest though. So, but how was that? How much was that money? He said, it was 500,000. I said, okay, I'll go charge you 20% for 1 month. Put 20%, 100K. So give me 600, where would they go? Otherwise, I collect 2.4 million. 600 times 4. Would you have the child of God? Hey, it's not a game of chance at all. So you can't go and hide where he doesn't want you to hide it. You know why? Because he will go there and look for it and collect it complete. And as you take your money, you go do like this. You know? Say, now my money be that too. He said, I told you don't lay it up. There are divinely ordained solutions to every problem. One day, sister came to see me. And she told about a lot of issues they had at home, money-wise and all of that. But then he finished. You know, I told her that there are different kinds of counsel. What I've noticed a lot of times, God tells many people, just relax. That's why I told this, gave this one now. When she finished that day, I said, of course, that's what I do. When you're talking, I'm praying. I'm listening, but I'm praying. So the Lord will put a word in my mouth. And before she finished, I had a word. I said, you have a spiritual problem. You're trying to solve it with a material arrangement. Yeah. I said, you see, this money you told me now you invested and you lost. If somebody told you before that you had that money, you know you wouldn't agree. Yeah. Made an investment and lost everything. I said, see, this money you are saying now, hey, you the money is not enough. I said, see, this one you told me you invested, now you lost. If somebody told you from the beginning you had this amount of money, you know you wouldn't agree. Say, so you know what the word of the Lord to you? I don't know the solution, no. But this one you are pursuing will never work. Because your problem is spiritual, not physical. Like I said, thoughts. There are thoughts, processes in your heart, in your family, that you guys have not dealt with. You want to fix it with more money. I said, no, I'm not. Your problem is not more money. There are people that God says, see, let me just say something. Material things on this earth, if God says, I don't want to give you, work as hard as you want, you won't get it though. And if you do get it, it will give you so much problems, you will hate the idea. Say, I must have my own house now. I must have my own house now. God says, see, you want house yet? Pray about it and relax. There's nothing with wanting things. The Lord says, pray about it and do what? Relax. I will take care of it at his own time. That one, I have a very strong personal testimony there. Oh my God, I was relaxed. The kind of relaxation where I get there, relax the worry and self. That the relax, get relaxed inside. See, this man sitting down here was the one that handled the construction of where we live now. Ask him. He begged me, sir, come and see what we are doing. From beginning to the end, I went there 4 times. Each time, somebody made me go there. That was how much relax had entered my body. Ask him, he's sitting down here. But I'm like, was when I wanted to paint, that now we said, did they choose color? When you and your my wife painted my room, like if it's a children's. You should come and see the room. When I said, what kind of thing is this? But you know the funny thing? Every lady that came said, wow! I look at some of them. Are you all okay? One color is mauve, one is fuchsia, one is white, one is. See what I'm saying? She has not even entered, though. She says it must be very nice. Ask him. There were days he came and said, sir, come and see what we are doing. I said, Bishop, have I ever asked you to come and help me prepare my messages? He said, no. I said, go and do your work. Let me do my own. And we were talking about 10, 15 minutes drive from where I was living. It's not as if we had to travel. On a Sunday, it's 5 minutes drive. That was how much relaxed God put inside my soul. See, if you will not relax for God, you hustle, hustle, hustle. When you reach there, because in the house you won't build, it will give you free land. I mean, when I say easy to buy, you go buy them. You go start work. So you won't build duplex, no wala. As you just finish the decking, community boys will come. Say, the people that sold you the land are not the rightful owners. God said, I sent them. No. I'm the one that sent them. You would think it's a joke. You say, how come you didn't talk all this way? I said, oh, God, we talked. Your boys, didn't they tell you? Then your supervisor will say, oh, God, actually they came. I thought they don't mind them. That's, eh? When was that? That was early last year, sir. Then when they came in December, I said, in December, we shouldn't be troubling. You know, you're preparing for Christmas. Because, you know, I'm the one that kept them so that you can finish all the money you have. Sure, you know the money has finished. That's why they slow down now. That's how I want to collect it now. When they show you Supreme Court judgment that awarded the land to them, not the other community. I put one of my guys here. Hey, bye. You go by here. It was even more than a year after he bought on fence and do everything. Community just came and said, Supreme Court said we are the one that owns the land. He said, well, he said, come and buy it. It's my own. They allocated it to me. He had to buy it again. At least, thank God, he never even built inside. Some people, God will just say, no, I'll go collect this thing. There's no talk he wants to talk. They said, no, Nathan Hall won't be for here. Jesus. There's no talk. When such things happen, let me tell you, don't be angry. Greet the boy. Say, when you want to do the launch for the town hall, may not invite me. The day they want to remove the one you have put there, come and bless them. Pull it down. Say, yeah, Father God, I want to thank you because the Lord gave. The Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To show you I'm not angry with them. Say, boys, here's 100K towards the community project you guys want to do. You know what? Let me just drop another thing. That's how they preach the gospel. They will come and say, oh, God, are you all right? Say, it's Jesus Christ. He said, what is wrong with you? He said, okay, nothing's wrong with me. He said, boys, nothing's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong. He said, when that whole thing happened, I said, it's God that sent you people. He told me that if I had parked in that house, it would have collapsed on my head. So you guys saved me from death. You don't understand. They will ask you, which one's your church? There's nobody that will, you say that kind of thing. I told a man who came to do a project in my office that when he was revealing the amount of money we were offering, I was shocked. What's wrong with this man? Finally, a thought just came to my mind. I said, you don't have to give me anything, no. He looked at me like, you know what he said? Which one is your church? I not told him anything. He just said, which one is your church? You are a Nigerian. We are doing work. You don't want your court. He asked me, he said, which one is your church? I told him, yes, it's about Jesus Christ, but it's not about the denomination. That kind of thing, you tell them, see, guys, I'm not angry with you. They are expecting a court case. Eh? Court? Me, I'm lucky I survived. They are talking about, I'm feeling lucky I survived. They are talking about court. I'm not going to court. See, God wants, we have too much worries. Many problems we think we have, God says, you are trying to solve the problem that I plan to solve in 5 years today. So grace is not with you. Do you know, many of us can live a comfortable life, extremely comfortable. Except that we decide to have, there are problems we must solve. And God said, this problem is for later now. It's not now. You know, the first time they offered me land in this town to buy, let me not give you the amount. When I finally bought, I paid 24 times the amount. Of course, time had changed. Things had were different. But it was the same effort. Maybe even less. Spiritually, it's easier. He said, go and buy land here to appreciate in value. I said, do I look like I'm depreciating in value? That's what I tell people. I said, do I look like I plan to depreciate in value? Many people, and they are a problem, eh? God says, just relax. You know, you pick up things I don't want to solve yet. Everybody, find something God wants you to be solving today. Keep busy with it. Anyone who doesn't want to solve, I say, God, leave him. And don't let people come calling you to counsel you who have no offer. They just want to put worry on your mind. Then they go away. I don't know whether I get my point. They will sit down. Ah, by now, you should have done this. You say, okay. You want to help me? No. And then leave it now. Stop advising me on things you plan. You don't have any plans to help me solve. You know that our senior apostle, the one who calls senior apostle, that kind of advice, I like his advice. He said, Pastor Panky, we should do this now. Now, this is what I'm offering you. Then I see whether I can meet his requirements. And I could. But someone just said, Uche has dedicated 2 houses in the village. I heard that if I just built one in Abuja, then the other day I was just passing. Okay, Chuku. He was doing decking. I saw John the other day. Ha. He was in this market. 2 truckloads of cement were about to follow him. Eh? Bro, I think you are naked. Such a person say, get behind me, Satan. If you had walked up to me and said, oh boy, time for you to get this land. I get 4 of us have come together. We are buying. And they say they can cut 5 plots for us. Don't worry, we'll pay them. They pay us more, small. They will know you are giving advice. How much is it? Look, it's usually in the market like 15 million, but this one, the way we did it, you get it for 8. You not get 2 million, I get it. Okay, bring it now. Don't worry, pay me when we are. Then I know God sent you to counsel me. You came to remove worry. Not the one that you start. By the time you finish describing everybody's society, I'm the only failure left. Nonsense. Such a person. Just delete. No, don't delete their number. Add to it. Assume the guy's name. Give me a name. A local name. I don't want a book. No, if I has built now. I mean. Okay. Say, Ebuka, thank you. Just write Ebuka trouble. So that when he sees his name on True Caller, he will know somebody studying him with trouble. So when he calls, you look, just ignore him, continue what you are doing. Nonsense. Back to, you know, I said there's a one I wanted to give.
Yeah.
If I've already given as I was talking, those who go to Egypt, who make plans not in alignment with God's plan, who kindle their own fire, we read from Isaiah chapter 50, the last 2 verses. And we read from the first 2 verses, Isaiah chapter 30. Listen, anytime you say you want to solve a problem by going to Egypt, not aligning with God's plans, God said that problem will be multiplied. That's where I was going. Please, I don't want to threaten anybody. Also, when the prophetic word comes forth, I can't withhold it. I have to speak. Otherwise, I'll be held responsible. Please, especially when you want to use these children as an excuse. This is a prescription of God for the destiny of the children. He said, I have chosen Abraham so that he will instruct his children and his household after him. So that they can instruct his children and his household after him in the way of the Lord in doing what? Righteousness and justice. That's what the children need. Isaac said, I have blessed him. I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. They need a blessing. Please, this one tickles me, so I like to read it. The blessing of Jacob that he gave Joseph. It tickles me. You will see, I'm talking about blessing your children. Please go and read, listen to my series, How to Bless Your Children. Very important. In fact, there's another lesson I like in the book of Psalms. We are going to read that one. It said, Jacob is a fruitful bow by a spring. Jacob is the foal of a wild donkey. Just want to use an easier word. The foal of a wild donkey. Where? Huh? I didn't call it where. Okay, Genesis 49:22. Sorry. I apologize. He said, one of the wild donkeys on the ridge. Verse 22. Said, the archers bitterly attacked him and shot at him and harassed him. I'm back to New American Standard. But his bow remained firm and his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. From God, now this is where I was going, verse 25. So from the God of your father who helps you, and by the Almighty who blesses you with the blessings of the heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath. Say, blessings of the breast and of the womb. Say, the blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brethren, among his brothers. That was how this man blessed his son, Joseph. Let's read also from the book of Psalms. These are things you should do for your children. That's what I'm saying. How to solve problems. There is a biblical way to solve it. Psalm 144. I read from New Living Translation. Say, may our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. May our daughters be like graceful pillars, carved to beautify a palace. May our barns be filled with crops of every kind. May the flocks of our fields multiply by the thousands, even tens of thousands. And may our oxen be loaded down with produce. May there be no enemy breaking through our walls, no going into captivity, no cries of alarm in our town squares. Say, yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. I just brought a few of these scriptures for you to bless your children. Be deliberate. See, when you are looking for the future of those children, those are the two things they need. One, teach them righteousness and justice. Two, bless them. Like I said to you, usually a word will come concerning what to do. Talk to our sisters yesterday. We have not spoken in a very long time. Sorry. Talk to one of our sisters yesterday. We have not spoken in a very long time. Say, how are your children? I said, they are fine. How are they now? How is this one? I said, oh, this one has finished his degree he did. He has to do master's. He has finished. Oh, what about this one? Oh, this one is in third. This one is in third. This one, I said, almost all of them are university. One that is not university, about to enter this year now. You'll be in. I said, yes, they're all in Enugu here. So you don't have problem of looking for pounds or dollars. I said, I don't. I said to her, I chose not to. Yeah, I said, I don't. I chose not. God. See, many people will get the result that we get is 1 million naira with 150. With 200 million naira. At the end of the day, you know what? All of us will be where we are supposed to be. God helping us. Those days I used to make a joke. You know, we used to have this doctor's fellowship when I was in Luz. One day I was asked to preach. I said, when I was in university those days, people used to come. I came from Queen's College. I came from King's College, you know, secondary school, you know. There were schools in Nigeria at that time. Those days when Queen's, King's College, those boys come from Ikoyi, we feeling, some of us, our father brought us to school. Sometimes we entered public transport just 2 hours away to school. Then they flew into Benin, gang. Feeling cool. That was 1985. I asked them, I said, where are all of us now? I said, we're in RMO3. That's the doctor's quarters. Yes. I said, where are all of us now? I said, we're all there waiting for water to be pumped in the morning, coming to water. I said, who cares where you came from? We entered that school. I remember one guy, he came from King's College. We withdrew him in third year. He was not a serious student. When his girlfriend finally corrected her brain to come back to school, when she was finished school, I was a senior registrar. No, sorry, I was a registrar already. We were classmates, 1985. He said, what's all of this where you are? So, let me tell you, you can run up and down. At the end of the day, those children will not go past everybody else. Dangote said most of his staff are trained in Nigeria. Yeah, he said the other time. See, these oil companies, oil and gas companies we have in Nigeria. I heard Dangote say this. How many of you heard when he said it? That was last week. Yeah. That most of his engineers are locally trained. In fact, the problem some of them have now is that after giving them more experience, they will not go and look for work elsewhere. One of our oil and gas big companies in Nigeria, no, in Nigeria LNG actually, one of our brothers, they told me that when they were talking to the HR, their manager, the ogre. So yeah, the man had a kind of disagreement. Not a sharp, they were just discussing. So he said, most of the staff we have here are Nigerian trained. The man said it's not true because of the level of staff they had. So he called the people to bring out this thing. They checked it. Most of them are trained in Nigeria. The head, his mouth open. It was one that did the interview. He was shocked. Because they had applications from all over the world. He said, but most of the people we employed, they are from here now. All this running up and down. I keep on saying, let me sit on my message. I've not finished giving the word I wanted to give. I've said that the scriptural way to solve problems. Now, this is the word I was giving. I first quoted the Chinese proverb, and I'm giving the prophetic word. That anytime you don't follow the order of God to solve a problem, the problem you are trying to solve will become worse at the end of the day. That's why I beg you, when it comes to your children, don't try it. Don't. Please. Please, can I beg you, Christian parents? I'm talking to you. You are following me online. You are here physically. There is nothing as important for a young person as your physical presence in the fellow's life and as the fellow learns the word, as the fellow's ability to learn the word of God and be exposed to Christian doctrine. If it would take your child 8 years to finish a 5-year engineering course in UNN because of strike, but in the 8 years he's going to church. You know, today I had to tell my son, I said, if you don't want to go to school, tell me. As we're driving here this morning, where is he? No, not that one. Oh, see him there, behind the camera. I said, oh boy. Because today alone, he wants to go for evangelism. He and his friend gather for evangelism because of a church they are associated with, which is far off town. Then in the evening, he's going to Truth Assembly for youth program. I said, make up your mind, choose one, you can't go to two. And I plan to say to him today that all these churches you go to, we will identify which one you did go, which one you know they go. Because number one, you must come to Kingdom Word. That is where your father is preaching. That's where you're a cameraman. That is where you are assisting with a computer. That's in the bag. On Sunday, you did go to the assembly. Okay? Then you now went to school to join CMDA. They made him the outreach director. I looked at him like, Chebi, I will not say my son should not go in and keep quiet. I didn't say anything. Then one day I entered the house. He said, I'm in a meeting. I said, which meeting again? He said, I said, I command you now. Exit that meeting now. And if I see you there again, you know they go to school. And he said, I read when I was in the library. Ah. Then they read for night, though. So it's from, oh, then we say, hey, daddy, that they are having this conference in Port Harcourt. If I slap with the back of my... That's the problem I'm dealing with. Too much church. I'm not dealing with, what is that in your hand? Daddy, there's nothing. And you are, I'm hitting smoke, and it's not the glory of God in my sitting room. That is the problem I'm dealing with. Like Pastor Corey would say, it's a good problem. Yeah, Pastor Corey calls something, he said, good problem. He said, that's a good problem. You go to church, they say, there's no space. This place is too tight. We don't have where to sit. That. Pastor Corey said, you have a good problem. It's teaching righteousness and justice. To me, if you will stay three extra years to learn a 5-year subject because of ASU strike, not a problem. Because there is nothing that establishes you more than the word of God. There's nothing. See, oh, please, I'm not saying because I'm preaching. I'm saying it because it's a fact. Nothing can establish your children more than the word of God. Why do we? You know, Christians are funny. The problem, we don't truly believe. You will sit down and tell me, hey, this country, this world, I don't know what's happening. Can't be in this country, they legalize it. Well, this one, they legalize same-sex marriage. This one, age of consent for sex is now 12 years. This one, you tell me all the problems. No problem that you have in one particular country whose name I shall not mention. They now say, as soon as they go strike in that country. But these other ones you told me that there are problems, as soon as they go strike. God is watching you. Now, please, brethren, I want to let you know God is watching you. Say, make your choice. What would you rather expose your offspring to? Which one? This strike or this decadence? Not telling me, it is everywhere. I know it's everywhere. But this one, I can slap my children and police will be behind me. Say, okay, good, good. Don't mind the boy. Don't mind him. You say, leave to your father. I'll flog you now. You cock gun, shoot one in the air to scare the boy. You do as your father says. They won't come and call him out for counseling or telling me I'm child abusing when I say he can't dress like a girl. Come on, you're talking about a teenager here. One day, one of my wife's relatives, you know, money will just send people up. Let me not start story. Like I was saying, I won't say that. I told you. There was no need for I told you. My wife had a man that said, uncle, this thing you are doing, it's not good. You know, my wife's not like me. Me, I will just keep watching you ruin your life. Unless you say, Pastor Banking, that you are the father. Hey, okay, good. Then I will tell you, did you see me go in that direction? Then I call you back. Because some people say they are following you, they do the opposite of what you do. Once you behave like that, after a while, I mark you. They bless you, whatever you are doing. It doesn't concern me. But otherwise, I'll be watching people. My wife will not be like that. My wife will tell you, why are you doing like that? What they are doing is not good. I said, okay, which one now? She said, the woman that one day. That one they talk. You know what a Urubu man calls opata? You know what it is? It's nonsense. They talk anyhow. I said, I know where this thing will end now. Before 2 years was over, the girl don't find one Russian boy, bring her, say, one marry. Yeah. Marriage lasts like 2 years. Of course not. You know, there's no... Then the other guy that went the other direction, he don't marry one friend, get divorced and marry another one. The house the papa give and the wife don't collect them. And I'm looking like... You know, I'm just trying... Don't even tell me about it. I don't want to hear this story. Because it was predictable. See, let me just tell you, stop, I've told Christians again and again. The Lord has put upon my mouth, you know, today I told myself, you know when I began, I said I won't do revision, so I won't go off, but you are a witness. So. In fact, Lord, it's me and John, so. But, so, what I wanted to bring, you now to leave it again now, till next time. Because I'm stopping now. But the Holy Spirit wants children of God, if you say you believe, truly believe. There is no solution outside that of God that will last. This life, you can have problems. God said, there's no wahala. There's no problem you want to have. I didn't prepare solution ahead of time. How do you find the solution of God? First, remember, just two places, from the word and from prayer. How do you hear the word? Wise counsel of people who fear God. My own personal experience is that usually when you pray, when I say sincere prayer, please let me get back to that prayer matter. There's no formula. Just lie down and say, ah, God, help me. What is praise? Praise is not the exotic English you sing with. That's not it. What is praise? Lord, I know you have the power. That's praise. Lord, even though it's in the past, I know you can change it. That is praise. What is praise? Where else will I go? You are the Almighty. Did the Bible not say you are the Almighty breasted one? There's no nourishment we want you don't have. It's in the scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd. Baba, you are the shepherd though. Don't tell me to go. There's nowhere else to go. That is praise. Whether they sat somewhere, I won't tell you where. Some people were praying. I told my children, one of my children was me. I said, do you hear that prayer? I said, I will never see any of you join this kind of praying. I told them. I said, I will never see any of you. Say, you do this, tell me it's prayer, you are praying. I'm not grill. You are playing music 2 hours. All of you did not hear like this. If I see any of this, my children do it, I will put you out of ministry myself. I won't even wait for God. Play for music for 2 hours. Let's know when we are solving demonic problems or youthful exuberance. That day I was over. I told my son, did you see that? He said, yes. I said, I will never see you or any of your siblings in a place like this. Prayers that even God answers, you won't know. Because you don't even know what the problem was. They call it prayer movement. That's not prayer movement. I tell you, that's not prayer movement. Leave that in. Not prayer movement. Put off the song. That's put off the drum and the keyboard. Let's see whether you can still move. I tell you, when it's prayer, there's no method. There's no seed ahead. I feel like telling somebody that. Don't worry to go and look for seed. That seed, you've sowed it for 5 years. That's why God has not answered. God said, you know, Banky, why I can't answer? He said, why? He said, because he will give the glory to seed. And I don't want glory in seed. It's not even fasting. I've told you before, Christian fast is just to focus, to hear the word. Your stomach is paining you, doesn't mean God is listening to you. You are trembling, now you can't move. My mother used to have a friend, they actually fast like 1 week every year, in which you neither drink nor eat. Say the last day, towards the end, my mother would go and meet you. Say, I'm not depressed. Jesus. Brethren, we are Christians, not Hindus. By the time you can't pronounce the name of Jesus again, Waladi, you are fasted till even the name of Jesus can't come from your mouth. Akoidamwa. Now, Waladi. At the point that my mother shouted, did you kill somebody? My mother said, did you kill somebody? Because I don't understand. One of our sisters put something on her status. Now I ask her, I said, are you Hindus in that church? He said, Pastor, I didn't want to be like I'm rebellious. I said, which one's rebellious? He said, fasting in the morning, you go drink juice. Afternoon, you go use, maybe you go put honey on your lips. I don't know. I said, excuse me, is it Hinduism we are doing here? They give me prescription how to eat. Let me give you my own prescription. If you are going out in the morning to work, put something in your stomach. Don't die for the Lord. That, see, when you want to die for the gospel, go and preach in San Bisa Forest. Go to your land. Preach on the streets. Then we know you die for the gospel. Do you get my point? Go to Saudi Arabia. Stay, go to the central mosque and say, Jesus is Lord. When they behead you, we will know that for the gospel, you died. Not that you are going to work in the morning. They will go for construction site. You reach there. He said, Uche, how far now? Say, in our church, we are fasting. Then you climb to second rung. You drop from there onto Iron Road. Say, for righteousness sake. Come on, that's foolishness sake. Christians, food is not our fast. It is time. Focus on the word. Scripture. Paying attention to what the Lord is saying. That's our fast. So you can't be going up and down doing construction work. You have not eaten. Say you are fasting. You are not fasting. You are driving construction truck. They are two different. And I've noticed some of those trucks, when you turn something like this, one roll of okpa has gone. You turn the other side, another roll of okpa. So fast or no fast, eat four rolls of okpa before you enter into the vehicle. And be singing. This is the day. That is the fast. You are fasting. That's singing. Then when it's break time, when boys gather in one corner to be making a lot of noise, go to your own corner. Take your Bible and read. These days, modern, put a message in your ears and listen. Aha, good. It's not only Pastor Banky that does Pastor Banky attend. There are many ministers there. The reference even has these short inspirational messages that they put background music. Yes, cue like four. When everybody else is with you, they are on break. They are, just relax, put it there, let it play for you. Before you go back, drink 2 liters of water and go back to work. That's Christian fast. That's Christian fast. That's how Christians fast. What am I saying? It is not that seed ahead. It's not self-punishment. God made it clear. The fast I have chosen is for you to rearrange your life to conform with the order that I put in front of you. That's the fast I chose. Then we ask the Lord, Lord, help me. He will bring you help. I told you once. Although I look back, I apologize to the Lord over it because I was now wondering whether I was being impatient with him or whether it was the right thing to do. Because I was in Lagos and after NYC, God removed all the jobs I needed to do. I'm a post-NYC doctor. God said, no, you prepare for ministry. How is your training? I didn't hear words, just events. So I went to one work, they're not available. I applied for residency, everybody went on strike, kept me at home for months. I mean, not 2 months, not 3 months, I mean months. Okay, let me look for another work. One day they employed me. I was supposed to resume on Friday. I went on Thursday to go and greet them. Just a day before, they said, no, they changed their mind about the employment. I don't know what happened. At the end of the day, God said, Banky, I won't give you this work. So I settled down to the drive. Then the Lord removed one of my auntie's drivers. Her personal driver ran away. So I took over the driving job. And I had the tape recorder with me all the time because of that. I said I did more than 500 hours of DVD alone in 5 months, in 8 months. So one day I just said, look. So I went to Luke that time to go and say, how far? When are people resuming? They said strike is still on. They don't know. I go home, I was dejected. I said, dear Lord, now, I'm tired of not having any work to do. I mean, I've been posting NYC doctor for goodness sake. I was waiting for these people. So that day I said, Lord, no now. The next day, our brother Augustine, he just came. He said, somebody looking for you. I came out. How far? Come in. He said, no, I don't want to come. I'm going somewhere. Take this address down. I can still give you the number in my head, number 25. I won't give you the name of the place in Ikeja. He said, go there. So I got up. I went there. They didn't ask me any questions. When can you start? And guess what? They gave me only night work. God said, Donkey, I have need for your time. Why I apologize now is that I look back, maybe I should have just kept relaxing. I don't know. But the thing is that one night, next day, God said, okay, I've arranged something for you. When I started residency and I was doing both jobs, eventually I dropped that one because of stress, dropped my income from 15,000 to 6,000 naira a month because of it. Of course, man, we're so broke. Things were so tight. So there were all the efforts we make to get small things to God refused. The Lord said, no, you will not. My friends were getting small extra job here and there. I tried. Finally, I gave up. Do you know those evenings? This book, Choice is Key to Destiny. It's one of those evenings I wrote that book. I'll be in my house every evening. I'm in my house. I'm reading. It's now I understand what God was doing. Because now to find time to do anything, before you know the day is over. All those tracks you see, that's when I wrote many of them. Wrote many of them. What I'm just going to say, God answers prayers. Just for us to commit our problems to Him sincerely. It's not a method. He's a person. He's a father. Bow your heads. Let's close. Let's commit to Him again. Say, Lord, my helper. That's what praise is. My help comes from the Lord. It's a praise. In my household, we declare that scripture every single day. I tell my children, even when they are not at home, declare it. Every single day. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not allow my foot to slip. He who watches over me does not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over his people does neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade at my right hand. The sun will not smite me by day. He's a person. It's a personal, like we say in Nigeria. He's a personal person. Sounds like a slang when we say it, but it's really true. There is a personal person. See, this is my personal person. The Lord is my personal person. The Lord is my personal person. Means He knows me. He knows my troubles. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my struggles. Then I present them to Him. The Lord is my personal person. Pray, say, Lord, let me not, you know, light my own fire. Teach me, dear Lord, I ask, your own solution to my current problem. I know it's in the word, lead me there. So, Holy Spirit, speak to me. I don't want to lie down in torment. I don't want to lie down in torment. Because you use our own solutions at the end of the problem. Say, Lord, I don't want to lie down in torment. Help me. Give me strength.